today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
And I'm speaking this to you because some of you are there. You got little babies and people that are looking to you for leadership, but you always got to throw your neck. Don't know you're causing people, the generations behind, to have to flow and do stuff because you can't hold yourself. When God is trying to prove you, He's trying to make you a leader. Leaders have to be able to endure for the sake of the people. I suffer long with you. He calls me to suffer long, even in prayer for you. Not that I would get the glory, it's because He loves you.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The New Covenant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 through 10.
They're going to stop speaking negatively about you. They're going to stop talking about what they don't understand, because God is about to show them the light of His countenance that's on your life in such a way they're not going to fight you anymore. Let me prophesy. God is about to make your enemy your footstool. God is about to make your enemy your footstool. Notice, when God puts your enemy down to be your footstool, it is not for you to crush him. That's the first thing people think about. That's right. But God never wants you to crush him. What He's saying is, your enemy will be a platform for you to stand up on. It means they will praise you. Your enemy gonna say, I don't know what it is, but there's something going on in your life. I really didn't like you, but I got to praise God for what He's doing. Come on, let's praise God in advance for that stepping stone that He's about to make and create in your life. Ah, Jesus. Don't you crush your enemy. Let him praise you. Ah, Jesus. Through the power of the resurrection, enemies are going to begin to praise. It is one of the signs of the new season. The ones that criticized and critiqued sharply are going to have to say, look what the Lord has done. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus. Notice this, who was crucified, but He's not here. Stop looking for God in the dry bones of your past. In broken relationships and issues, in spilt milk. Stop looking for Him, He's not here. He's already gone out ahead of your brokenness. I go to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many. I've gone out to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you don't know, and you don't even know the way. But I've gone out to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there will you be also. God is never behind you. He has a retrograde grace that covers your backside. He's always out ahead of you. Please get this. The enemy is always trying to make you look back at what you came out of. But God says, shake it. Shake it off. Shake it and shake it off. I even asked Him to shake this church. Shake it like a rag. Shake it like a rag. Shake it like a rag. Because some of you are still holding on to what happened to you. When God has gone out ahead of you, He actually protected you. The enemy wanted to kill you, but He protected you and went out ahead of you. He's out in front of you. The angel of the Lord said, you came to do a good deed, but He's not here among the dead. Why do you seek for the living among the dead? And it's a tendency for every generation to try to lift up tombs and dead issues and take the crib out and see, what did I do? What could I have done to change it? And God said, I'm not even in that. Let the dead lay. I've gone out ahead of you. Thank you, Lord. He is not here, for he is risen. And when God is risen, he doesn't stay in the same place. Just like when you experience resurrection power, you're not supposed to be in the same state you were in last year. When you're risen, you make movement. You're not a monument. You're not a statue. You're a movement. You're always going into new ground. You have a sense of discovery. I can settle for it, but I believe God has more. Do I have anybody in the room that believe God has more for you? Then let me hear you say amen. Amen. God has so much more that if he shared it with you now, it will blow your mind. That's why he told Joshua, I'm going to give you the land little by little. Little by little, over a period of years, you're going to begin to see it. We got 1 hour prophets. God's going to change your life. I don't prophesy that because it's not consistent. If God blessed you with everything all at once, you wouldn't be able to manage it. But every year you'll start seeing growth. There's seasons that you must go through. And every year you'll see a cycle and he's growing you a little bit more to handle some more. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And all of a sudden, you become Zaphnath Paneah, going through your pit, your pot, and the prison, and then for being forgotten. But when he makes you the governor, you're not trying to seek for revenge. If he elevated you too much and you had the power, you would kill everybody that hurt you. But because he took you through the cycles, he smoothed that out. He smoothed you out. He polished you. So even when your enemies come, you can still bless them. Can somebody say amen? I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like giving Kool-Aid to the enemy that tried to kill you. Come and take this. You look like you thirsty. Take this right here, drink. And they looking at you, my God, shaking, right? Can't even drink it. There's nothing more satisfying than to eat a steak in the presence of your enemies. That's how he wants you to do. And offer them some. You hungry? Take a bit. Take half of it. Guess what? He's not going to stop providing for me. You can have almost all of this steak. And I turn around, he got me with 16 and 17 more. Because he prepares a table before me. And if you got a lot of enemies, that means you got a lot of steaks to eat. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Stop crying about dead stuff and let's move. God is out ahead of us. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Glory to God. And then in Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah prophesies of a new covenant. And verse 31, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. We're of descendants of Judah because we praise. It will not be like the old covenant. Say it will not be like the old covenant. And there are people, and I'm going to be preaching about it at 11 o'clock, who are prophesying from the old covenant. Not the new. It's always judgment. But they don't understand seasons of change. Thank you. God can kill anybody at any time. That's not what he wants. You're in the new covenant. He really wants to save you. A lot of grace. Thank you, Lord. Don't call it greasy grace, but there's a lot of grace for us today. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them from the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. Notice, I will put my law not on tablets of stone, but I'm going to put it in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Notice the relationship is from the inside out. I'm going to do an internal work of intimacy that will express itself outwardly. God says, I want to be intimate with you. And that really means into me, see? Into me? Into me? Not what I put on, not the color of my clothing and coordination, but do you see in me beyond all of that? God says, I want intimacy, so I'm going to take time myself as you spend time with me and go inside. Into me, see, God. And I'm going to write my law in you. It will go with you. You won't have to come to a certain place and look at a tablet, but you will carry it with you in your hearts. Thank you, Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write it in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me for themselves. In other words, I will share the gospel with you and then I point you to him. And the knowing is not me as a mediator to tell you what he's saying. You'll start sensing in yourself. And no one would have to call you and say, you need to come to church at 8:00 in the morning. Your alarm clock inside will wake you up. Ah, I need to get to the house of God. When I first started pastoring, I was, man, just always worried about people coming to church. I would go and look out the window to see if there's any cars yet. I got a good message. Nobody's showing up. And one Sunday, it rained real bad in this church that we were in West Melbourne. It rained so bad that the yard was flooded. It was turned into mud. I said, nobody's coming today. It was a bad situation. Mosquitoes were just galore. And when it rained, it was muddy in the yard. We were renting this facility. And the pastor was very mean to me that was renting the facility. He was saying racist stuff to me, but I didn't tell our church because I didn't want to have to move and tabernacle all over the city. And he really showed me how to endure hardness because he was saying some things to me. Do you have any whites in your church? Are they poor? Do you think there's something psychologically wrong with a white male to submit to black authority? These are the things that were shared with me during the time. And I had to suck it up because I didn't want our people tabernacling. I believe God was proving me to be able to handle some stuff. He raised our rent 3 times. How do you grow? How do you go to 2 services like that? You'll never buy that building down on Palm Bay Road. God said, hold your peace. Don't say a word. Don't fight. And it was tough for me because I'm alpha. I wanted to open up both bazookas. Boom, boom, boom. But our church would have fragmented. It was too fragile at the time. And I'm speaking this to you because some of you are there. You got little babies and people that are looking to you for leadership. But you always got to throw your neck. Don't know you're causing people, the generations behind, to have to flow and do stuff because you can't hold yourself. When God is trying to prove you, he's trying to make you a leader. And leaders have to be able to endure for the sake of the people. I suffer long with you. He calls me to suffer long, even in prayer for you. Not that I would get the glory, it's because he loves you. Yeah. Help me to preach, oh God. And on this Sunday, I was like looking out there, man, and I went in my office and got on one knee. And when I went to the front door and opened it up, I was astonished. Because all of these cars, it was raining hard, but they had their windshield wipers on and they would park down Milwaukee. And the brothers of the church were letting the ladies drive their vehicle up and they had their shoes in their hands and with umbrellas, they was bringing them into the house of God without me orchestrating it. And the ladies had their stockings on and they were just so happy to be in the house of the Lord. And some of them were coming out of the world. He said, I clubbed all night. I can get my feet wet. The religious ladies, ugh. But all the single ladies, once they got saved, they weren't afraid of the rain. They went through storms in the world, hallelujah. They went through issues. To go to a club, they were in the rain. And God brought them through all of that and brought them to the house of God. They were walking in the rain, tiptoeing, still coming to the house of God. Took their shoes off and still gave him praise. We had our largest service that we've ever had. And the finance doubled. That's when God shook me. He shook me like a rag doll. And I stopped going to the window. He told me it's on. The meeting is on. I'm anointing you for your future. Thank you, Jesus. And let me prophesy the truth reveal. That horn blowing today is a release for your future. I know you're in the mud. I know you're tiptoeing to the tulips. I know you don't know what's going on in your life. But I'm here to give you something right now. Though it's storming out there, if you keep on tiptoeing, get your way to the house of God. Stop letting excuses keep you out of the house of God. Get back to what you know. You're going to begin to see God move in your life like never before. It's stormy out there, but let him write the law in your heart. Let him put his finger on what he's doing in you and give you a life print for the future, that when you bump up into people, they'll catch the vibe. Can somebody say amen? I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody. New covenant. There's amazing benefits of the new covenant. Write it down. Number one, the new covenant is not only between you and God. Not only will you receive the light of God, but you're going to walk in the fullness of the light. Some people in religion are okay with a little clamp or a candle. But in the new covenant, the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in you. Not like Moses, who himself could go up and get in the presence of God for 40 days, but all of the people had to stand outside of the curtain. That's not the kind of religion and relationship I want, where I can experience the glory of God, but you're cut out. Why would you want to go back to that? Why would you want to see my face shine when God wants yours to shine too? Why would you want me to have a beautiful home and all of that, but you're not supposed to have one? You know what I'm talking about. You've been in church for a long time. Preachers, man, people, you know, they believe they're supposed to have everything. Or the CEO has it all, but you don't. You can't even, you know, rub two nickels together. We got that kind of stuff in America. But that's not God's way. God wants everybody to be blessed. Not only with light, but with the fullness of the light. He wants to flood you. He wants to flood you with light, to experience total luminosity, to shake you with revelation so much you start crying. Not you wandering around trying to get a little light. What am I supposed to do next? He floods you with daylight. The supernova shows up in your life. The sun opens up in your room. You experience the angelic. Thank you, Jesus. This is the benefit of the new covenant. Number two, not only does God want you to experience the life in Christ, but he wants you to experience the fullness of the life. But Christ is our life. Everything about him, as it relates to life, he wants us to experience in fullness. Joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be happy. Listen to what I say. Fullness. Not little trinkers, little trickers, not little sprinkles of happiness. He wants you to be happy. Ah! That kind of, ah! Make you shake your head. Ow! Won't you have weird stuff? Oh, my God! That's how he wants you to be as believers. not mean. Mean, walking in church, mean. Yeah. Come on, let him have his way. Let him have his way. Not that. I'm talking, woo! Oh, God! My God! Woo, Jesus! I want you making sound. Astonishment. Wow! Wow! He wants that part of you to, whoa! Some of you looking at me like, I don't know what that's like. That's where he wants to take you. Fullness of it. Fullness of life. Fullness. Mountain peaks. Majestic heights. Not knowing where the sea ends and the sky begins. Picking a flower and smelling it. And it puts a smile on your face. Or glorying in the meal. The meal didn't change, but your attitude changed. And you're thankful. Oh, help me, Jesus. Then when you enter into worship with fullness of life, you're not expecting somebody to worship for you. Woo, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. And you're not dependent on a person to do it. He does it. One more. Not only strength, but fullness of strength. The Lord is the strength of my life, of my heart. In whom shall I be afraid? He is my portion forever. Well, the right hand of God doesn't just show up to get you out of trouble, but he moves you from strength to strength. Glory to God. His right hand is always in your life. God wants to make many of you under the sound of my voice momentum shifters. What do you mean by that, Bishop? That when you step in the room, the atmosphere changes. And you know what I'm talking about. There are people who can step in a room and it's just something about it. Everybody's going to take a look, a double look. God wants to make you that way. With your stature and your confidence, because he's the strength of your life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Strength of life. Not only just strength to get you out, but you walk in strength. Glory to God. There's a confidence, there's unshakable confidence. Write that down, an unshakable confidence that God wants you to have. An unshakable confidence. It's not cocky confidence. It's just unshakable. No matter what's going on, you're going to stay on the stump. You're going to keep the portion of your wall built and fortified. As it relates to your responsibilities, you're never going to let it down. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do. Glory to God. I had to get to a point in my life where it's not about what a person does. I'm going to give you 100% regardless. If you can give me 50 and you go to sleep at night, that's your stature. You're really minimized. But me, I have to give from what my strength requires, and that is 100. I like the old people. 99 and a half won't do. How does that thing start out? Lord, I'm trying to make 100, because 99 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm trying to make 100, because 99 and a half won't do. How many of you know 99 and a half won't do? That's why I'm very careful about who I go into covenant with in the earth at this age, because I'm going to give you 100. Some people are only capable of giving you 30. And that's why you count up the cost before you go into covenant. That's all they got is 30. And if you're 100 and another person is 30, you're going to be frustrated. But when you're in the fullness of strength, you're not worried about what they do. Because my strength is in you. Maybe God wants me to carry you for a while. Maybe God wants me to be your strength. Maybe you wouldn't be here if God didn't have me here. And he's given me this portion of responsibility to remind me of how good he's been to me, because he's carried me too.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the New Covenant, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2204-1708. That's reference number 2204-1708.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today.
In collaboration with Brevard Family Partnership, Helps Community Initiatives is looking for volunteers for the Open Table Model. Volunteers should have a passion for empowering and a heart to help individuals work towards self-sufficiency. Contact Loriana DeGennaro at 321-266-0603 for details. The Health and Wellness Ministry, in collaboration with Helps Community Initiatives, will hold a free CPR and first aid training for adults on Saturday, October 15th from 9 a.m. until noon in the Fellowship Hall. Everyone is welcome to attend, and we strongly encourage those serving in the Usher, Security, and Children's Education Department to sign up. Women's Sunday School is still on every Sunday at 10 a.m., so make sure to join Pastor Sabrina in the sanctuary.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
From Love Worth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
You know what your job is as a parent? It's to give your children wings so they can leave the nest. The Bible says that the eagle stirs her nest. That is, what does she do? She teaches her little eaglets to fly. Now, when Jesus said, let a man leave his father and his mother, that speaks of the priority of marriage. Marriage is the highest of all human relationships. And the relationship between husband and wife is a closer bond than the relationship, believe it or not, of parent and child. And so when you're raising your boys and girls and getting them ready for marriage, you have to be preparing them to leave your home. Don't just be so interested in making your children comfortable. Try to build into them some character and get them ready to leave the nest. Do you know what your job is? Your job is to work yourself out of a job. Did you know that a parent is successful when the children no longer need them? You see, you work yourself out of a job, but you don't work yourself out of a relationship.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.